Hey, good morning. Heard about a husband and a wife who were not getting along one day. They were having a little bit of an argument, and by the time evening came, they were both giving each other the silent treatment. And before they laid down to go to sleep that night, the husband laid down first, and he had to get up early the next morning to catch a flight at 5 a.m., and so he wrote a note for his wife to wake him up at 5 a.m. He laid that note beside her side of the bed, and he went to sleep. Next morning, the husband woke up, and he looked over at the alarm clock, and he couldn't believe his eyes. It was 8 o'clock. He'd missed his flight. His wife wasn't in bed. He was aggravated, and he marched into the kitchen and demanded to know, "Why didn't you wake me up?" And his wife said, "Well, I tried." And he said, "Well, how did you try to do that? You never woke me up." And she said, "I wrote a note that said it's 5 a.m. Wake up and laid it beside your pillow." This morning, we're starting a brand new message series. We're going to be diving into our words. This new series that we're going to talk about is about how our words form our homes. Our words have real life consequences. And I think oftentimes words roll off our tongues without our brain ever engaging. And we say things that are hurtful and mean. And we need to concentrate on what it is that we say and how we say what we say. And to realize the things that we say and the words that we use, they really define our homes. Right now, we're homebound. We're spending more time at home. We're spending more time with our spouses. We're spending more time with our children or grandchildren. And so I can't think of any better time than to talk about this because, well, we're stuck. We're stuck together, and we've got to figure this out, and we've got to get along as a family and do the best that we can while we're in this difficult time. And so that's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks. The words that we use at home, they determine whether we thrive or just survive as a family. And I really hope you lean in on the next 3 weeks and really consider what God's word has to say about being the type of parent, the type of child that honors God so that the home can be a positive place where growth happens. That's God's intention for the family. God wants to see the family grow stronger and stronger. And no matter who you are, the words that you use, whether they're positive or negative, they're going to have an impact on us. And you might think that I just kind of let things go right over. I don't let it bother me. It doesn't penetrate my heart. It doesn't bother me. They do. Words can linger, and the things that are said can hurt, and they can cut. And so we need to examine our words and use them wisely. Tim Kimmel, not related to Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think, he said this in a book that he wrote about parenting. "You have been handed a piece of history in advance, a love letter to a time you will not see. And you play the biggest role in how that history will ultimately be recorded." And so parents, I'm a parent. God blesses us with our children. And they're a piece of history that we're going to influence. And how we influence them, we might not ever see what happens in their life and how it plays out and how our influence affected them. But we need to take it seriously. We really need to consider how it is that we use our words as a mom and a dad, as a family. We're going to look at an Old Testament example today in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can turn there in your Bibles if you'd like to. We're going to look at an example of good and bad parenting. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're introduced to a priest by the name of Eli. He was a good man, and he served God as a priest. But it appears as a father, he was sort of weak. He had two wicked sons that we'll be introduced to here in just a little bit. There's also, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're introduced to a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was unable to have a child. And every year, Hannah and her husband, they would go to Shiloh, to this town where they would go to the temple and they would praise God and they would make sacrifice to God. And one day, as Eli was in the temple court, he watched Hannah and her husband come in, and Hannah prays this prayer to God that she wants a child. And she pours out her heart to God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, hear what she says. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And Eli, at a distance, hears this prayer, this emotional woman. And so he approaches her and talks with her about her prayer and tells her to go in peace and may God grant your request. Well, soon thereafter, Hannah would become pregnant and she would give birth to a son and she named him Samuel. Skip down a few verses to verse 27 and there in 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is what she says. I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She remembered that promise that she had made to the Lord. I think in Hannah's heart, she was overwhelmed with how God had blessed her, and she was going to keep this promise that her son would be of service to God's kingdom work. And he would go there to the temple to live with Eli, where he would grow the knowledge of God and worship God and serve God there in that way. I think this is a reminder to us of just how much of a blessing children are to us. Now I know sometimes kids really get under our skin as parents, especially in these times where we're together a whole lot more than we have been in the past. We're having to do all kinds of jobs. I give a shout out to teachers. Teachers do a great job, and they know a whole lot more than I do, and my kids ask me questions that I think, that was a long time ago. I knew it then. I've kind of forgotten it since. We're trying to work through this, but kids are a blessing, and Hannah realized this. And so I want to share four words with you this morning that we need to share with our children. Here's number one, words of discipline. We're introduced to Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Here's what the Bible says about them in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Eli's sons were scoundrels. I don't think I've ever read anywhere in Scripture that someone was called a scoundrel, but that's the reference that was made to these two boys. They had no regard for the Lord. These two worked for their dad in the temple, and they grossly abused the power, the authority that had been given to them. You see, people would come to the temple to make sacrifice, animal sacrifice. And the people would be allowed to take some of the meat to eat. But these two brothers were greedy. And they would take far more of the meat than what they were allowed to take. And they took advantage of people. Here's what God thought about that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. The sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. More than likely, they probably had acted like this as children, conniving and taking advantage of others in situations. And now, because it wasn't taken care of in their youth, it's now spilled over into their adulthood. And we can learn a positive lesson from a negative example here this morning, looking at these two young men. What we know, this bad behavior that's not confronted early, it only gets worse. And so we have to, as parents, we have to take care of that at the beginning. You got to realize that your little angel, well, he or she's not a little angel. There's moments they make us proud, they do the right thing, but your little angel is a sinner. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. And we all make mistakes. And that's why children need guidelines and boundaries as we're raising them. Discipline shows your children, I know what you're capable of. I know that you can do so much more. And if I don't discipline you in this situation, it's going to have an effect on what you might possibly be able to accomplish later on in your life. And so as a parent, we do the hard things. We share words of discipline to our children because we love them more than they can realize it. Parenthood, it's modeled by our relationship with God. God, he calls the shots with us in our relationship with him. And as parents and with our own children, we call the shots. We are in charge. And some folks might say, you know what, though, I want my kids to like me. I want to be their friend. Children need a friend, but they also need a parent. They need someone who's there to give them guidelines in their life, to help direct them in the right paths. And one of the most loving things that we can do as parents when we share words with our kids of discipline, they need to know that we're more than a friend. We love them too much. And the biggest mistake is not being consistent with our discipline and being a united front as a mom and a dad. Discipline will help a child think twice before they decide to do something that they know that they shouldn't. And God's word teaches that this should begin from birth. From probably birth to around age 6 or 7, there may be a whole lot of rules. There may be a whole lot of guidelines, boundaries that you give your children. But God wants you to release those gradually so as they age older, they will already know right from wrong and what your expectations are. And when we set boundaries, that can foster for our children a sense of safety. I think back to our summer vacation this past summer. Our family had left San Francisco and we're headed east and we were going to Yosemite. And as we started to go up into the mountains, the Sierra Nevadas, we were going on roads that hugged the side of these cliffs, and there were no guardrails anywhere. I've told people if they would have had to have had guardrails, they would have had to have been on every square inch of this road. For probably a good 40 to 50 miles, we hung on the edge of these mountains, swerving back and forth and back and forth, and throughout the whole thing, my family didn't feel safe. I might have gone a little too fast, but I was excited and it was fun. But when we set boundaries and guidelines for our children, it creates a safety net, and they'll know that we're there for them. The parent who can balance love and discipline without compromise is more likely to raise a well-adjusted child. Another area of words to share with your kids is words of affirmation. Words linger, and they last a long time in the mind of a child. And they need to hear that we believe in them. God modeled this himself with his own son, Jesus. In John chapter 3, if you know the story, Jesus goes to the Jordan River to find John the Baptist, to be baptized by John the Baptist there in the river. And after Jesus comes up out of the water, these words are audibly spoken from heaven. In Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Affirmation is important in maintaining a balance between words of discipline and words of affirmation. And when we balance that, it's a great ingredient to set children up for a good future. You might be thinking, you know, I've got a teenager and I try to share, but I really don't think they're listening. At times it might feel that way. But don't stop. Don't stop those words of affirmation because they're listening and they're going to remember. And so, as a parent, it might feel at times we're trapped at home right now. We're just trapped and we're there together and we get on each other's nerves and it can be difficult. But we take a deep breath and remember how blessed we are to have our children. And so as parents, could you share with your child this next week, words of affirmation, that you believe in them, that you're proud of them, that they're a great kid. Could you do that? Maybe that would bring down some of the tenseness at home right now. If you're a grandparent, I know for grandparents this is a difficult time because you might not be able to see your grandkids like you have. But you could write them a card of encouragement, of affirmation, and drop that in the mail. Or maybe if you're technology advanced, you could send them a text message or something on social media. And just share with them while they're stuck at home and you're stuck at home and you can't see each other, that you're proud of your grandkid. That you know in their life they're going to do great things. Aunts and uncles, same thing. I know my kids love to hear words of affirmation even from their aunts and their uncles. Another area to share, number 3. Words of direction. We need to look for opportunities where we can share words of direction, where we can teach and direct our kids in their lives. That as a parent, they need us speaking these words of direction. They're looking up to you. How it is that you live your life and the things that you do and the way that you do them. And kids need to hear these directives. Apparently, Eli, unfortunately, didn't take the time to do this. Later in his life, Eli was, I think, downtrodden about the fact that his sons were evil, and now it was to the point where there was nothing he could do about it. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. Apparently, his sons didn't listen. And this had been a pattern for a really long time. And it just seems that Eli, more than likely, he was there, but he wasn't there. It's hard to discipline and share words of affirmation and direction if you're not there, whether that's physically or mentally, where we physically have to spend time. And right now, in a way, we're being forced to do that. But when this is all lifted, are we going to continue to take the time with our kids? We can also be with our kids physically, but mentally be checked out and somewhere else and not caring. And that's unhealthy and doesn't foster a good relationship with our children either. David wrote something interesting in Psalm chapter 127, verses 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. David uses this analogy of arrows to represent our children. And that's interesting because what does it take to make a good arrow? Well, number one, an arrow has to be straight. It has to be straightened. Number two, a good arrow, it has to be sharpened. Number three, you have to aim that arrow at the target. And number four, it's got to be released. How does this line up with our children? Well, it's much the same. Our children, an arrow, it has to be straightened. We straighten our children through words of discipline. It has to be sharpened. We sharpen our children through words of affirmation and direction. And then the arrow is aimed. And we aim and we do the best that we can to aim our children in the right direction where they can accomplish the most in their life, especially for the kingdom work of Jesus. And then it's released. You draw back that bow and you release that arrow. An arrow is not an arrow. It doesn't do its job unless it's released. And that's what you and I do as parents. We raise our children so that we can release them. And sometimes we have to be willing to go the extra mile, pour into them the most that we can. And an arrow flies best when it knows that you believe in them. Do you believe in your children? Do they know that? The final area are words of spiritual life. It's a parent's job. The church, we do the best we can. But it's the parent's job to pave a way for kids to discover a relationship with Jesus. It's not the parent's relationship with Jesus, but it's the child being guided in the right direction by mom and by dad so that they can develop their own relationship with Jesus Christ. While Hophni and Phinehas didn't listen to their father, Samuel, who was being raised by Eli, he paid attention. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, you read a familiar story of one evening as Samuel lay down to go to sleep. He heard someone call his name, and he gets up and he goes to Eli and says, did you call my name? And Eli says, no, I didn't. And so Samuel goes back to sleep, and then he hears his voice called the same way, and he goes to Eli, and Eli says, no, it was not me. I did not call your voice. It happened a third time, and when Samuel came up to Eli and said, did you call my name again? Light bulb moment. And Eli had realized and told Samuel, it's the Lord calling your name. And this is what you're to do. The next time the Lord calls your name, you're to wake up and say, Lord, it is your servant. I am listening. So the Bible says that Eli sent Samuel back to go to sleep. And the Lord actually stood beside Samuel's bed and called his name. And Samuel awoke and said, "Lord, it is your servant. I am listening." And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, God said to Samuel, "Listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention." God is in the process of preparing Samuel to be a great prophet, which he would become. And for you and I, if we teach our kids to discern the will of God in their life, then we're setting them up for a great future in serving God and his kingdom on this earth. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him." This is something that's left out. We read that he's worshiping God and that he's serving God there in the temple with Eli. But you read this and think, well, this must be some sort of a typo. This doesn't add up. Yeah, it does. And you might be thinking, so my kids can come to Paina Christian Church. I can raise them up in the church. They can go to We Worship. They can go to Jam Kids. They can go to VBS, Church Camp, Ignite Teen Ministry, and still not have a relationship with Jesus? Yes. Yes, it's very possible for that to happen. You see, religious activity, it does not automatically make you have a relationship with God. Now, our religious activities and the things that we do through the church are very, very important in growing a relationship with the Lord. But that does not replace making Jesus the Lord of your life. If religious activity was the ultimate goal, then Jesus would not have condemned the Pharisees. He would have applauded them because that's what they were all about. But Jesus says it all starts first with that deep, meaningful relationship. And because Eli, well, he was trying to point, and it appears that Samuel was listening and receptive, and he was serving God and honoring God while he was being raised in the temple with Eli, things were going to be a lot different for him. Andy Stanley writes, the greatest accomplishment of your life might not be something you did, but someone you raised. Don't underestimate the importance of how we raise our children. And one of the important factors of that is the words that we use. We're going to take this journey starting today and over the next couple of weeks, realizing just how important our words are. They are very, very powerful, and we need to realize that. I want to close with the story about a preacher in California named Irwin McManus. This happened several years ago. His son had went to a church camp, and when he had come home, the first evening that he was home, his father, Irwin, went into the bedroom to tell him goodnight, and when he had turned the light off, his son shouted, "No, no, turn the light back on. I don't want the lights off. I want the lights on." And Irwin started thinking to himself, well, they must have probably told some ghost stories at church camp. And so he asked his son, "Well, are you scared of ghosts? Do you think there's ghosts in your room? Did they say ghost stories at church camp?" And his little boy said, "No, Daddy, no. No, they didn't talk about ghosts. They gave us demon stories." To where Irwin was thinking, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me." And so he told his son, "Well, son, there are demons. And they're on Satan's team, and they go all throughout all the earth trying to keep people from following Jesus. And there are literally thousands of them, and they're everywhere that you go. There probably is one right here in your bedroom." No, he didn't tell him that. He thought to himself, "I could tell him that, but that's not the right thing." His little boy looked at him and just said, "Daddy, can you pray? Just pray that I'll be safe." And Irwin bent down and held his son's hand and said, "I'm not going to pray that you're going to be safe. I want to pray that you're dangerous. I want to pray that you're so dangerous that you follow Jesus so boldly and you believe so much, you have so much faith, that when you walk into a room, you're so dangerous that the demons, they walk out." And I think that's the same prayer we need to be praying for our kids. That is, we're at home more now than perhaps we ever have been before. that we would be speaking words into our child's lives that are positive and uplift them. And we'd also pray powerful prayers that our children would be made dangerous. Dangerous for God's kingdom work and could be used in great and unbelievable ways. Here's today's takeaway. This week, it's simple, but we have to do it. As a part of your daily routine, speak positive words into your children's lives. I'm so glad you tune in again to watch this message and this worship service. I pray that your family is blessed throughout this next week and that you continue to stay safe and healthy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you give us each week to gather and to worship. I pray, Father, as we continue to do it in this way, that we wouldn't grow frustrated. Father, that we wouldn't get laxed in making this a priority to worship you. That each week we would be determined to tune in, to pray, to praise, to remember your Son Jesus through communion. Father, to be uplifted by your word and to be challenged by your word. And Father, to continue to give back to you because you're so, the way you give to us is beyond anything we can imagine. You're so generous, Father. I pray that we would not lose sight of that. Father, I pray for everyone who is watching this that you would just continue to bless them. I thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Have a great week.